Chapter 12. By now it was almost dawn, and there was a lot of cleaning up to do. The kitchen floor at number 41 was covered in mud, and all of those involved in the rescue of Mossy were wet and cold and in need of a good clean-up. But no one seemed to care. Releasing their natural animal behaviour had been entirely enjoyable for everyone, and the steamy, muddy troop decided that for this night only, they should just go with the flow and revel in their dirty, smelly joy of it all. Besides, getting clean and presentable wasn't their immediate priority. Mossy was. He was sat in front of the electric fire and given a bowl of water and some lamb chops. He stared into the distance while Sylvie sat by his side. But he didn't say much. "Oh, well done, everyone," said Mr. McNumpty, rubbing his head dry with a towel. "Top work, and in such terrible weather, too." "What happens when it rains cats and dogs? You have to be careful not to step in a poodle." Mrs. Bold glared at her husband. "Mossy," she asked, "are you okay now?" "I'm very cross with myself," said Mossy after a pause. "You mustn't be," said Mrs. Bold. "Those traps are terrible things." "Yes, but I knew that," said Mossy angrily. "How could I have been so stupid? Oh, it was the cheese. I was hungry and the smell of it just tempted me." "It was moose cheese, a rare delicacy. How could I resist? In my eagerness to taste it, I was careless. I've stolen the bait out of those cage traps countless times before and always got away with it." "Well, not to worry. It's a good job we came along when we did." "Oh, I'd have got out of there. Don't you worry," said Mossy, not sounding in the least bit grateful. "Mossy," said Sylvie, "that's not true. You were completely trapped in there. And if it hadn't been for these wonderful animals..." "Oh, shut your mouth, Vixen," he snapped. "They're not animals. They're would-be humans, and I owe them nothing." Everyone was shocked. "Now, if you don't mind, I'd like to go to sleep. I presume there's a room for me upstairs. Perhaps I can bunk in with the goose," he offered, licking his snout. "Oh, no, no," said Snappy, suddenly not as snappy as usual. "By all means have my room," he offered. "I'll share with Craig." "Much obliged," said Mossy. "Well, good night all. Sylvie, say good night." And they went upstairs, leaving the rescuers open-mouthed below. The next day at 41 Fairfield Road, there was an almighty clean-up operation. All the residents and guests had to be showered, dried and brushed, after which the kitchen, bathroom and more or less the whole house had to be scrubbed, mopped and hoovered. There were several buckets of mud and fur and a few flower petals. Mrs. Bold had an idea that these could all be recycled into some lovely hats, so they were kept outside the back door, ready for when she was in a creative mood. Fun as it had been to be wild again for a few hours, it was not to be repeated. The antics of the night before had been necessary to rescue Mossy, but tails must be hidden again, clothes must be worn, and everyone had to be reminded to walk and talk like humans. And no one could suppose that Mr. and Mrs. Bingham would let the matter lie. There was, what was left of, the flower bed in their front garden for a start, evidence of the terror they had been subjected to, there for all to see. Uncle Tony went for a casual stroll past number 10 mid-morning with Miranda in her pushchair, and sure enough, a police car was parked outside and a reporter and a photographer were in the front garden taking pictures of Craig's muddy trotter prints. The journalist asked Uncle Tony if he lived locally and if he'd heard anything unusual the night before. "Like what?" asked Tony. A goose, a wild boar, a couple of wild dogs with frothing mouths, a bit like hyenas," asked the reporter hopefully. "No, but I did see a herd of elephants and a flying saucer," replied Tony. "Never heard such nonsense," and then he walked away chuckling to himself. It was generally thought amongst the residents of Fairfield Road that the Binghams had been the victims of youthful hijinks. Some over-refreshed chaps from Kingston University had maybe dressed up in costumes as a prank. Or, it was whispered, maybe too much cheese at bedtime. Chapter 13. So you might think this story is almost finished. Mossy had learned his lesson and would steal from the houses of Fairfield Road no more, and life could return to normal. But you'd be wrong. You can generally work out when you're coming to the end of a book, because there aren't many pages left. As you can tell, we're far from done with this tale. Barely halfway through, in fact. There's going to be what is known in literary circles as a plot development. Stand by. Mr. and Mrs. Bold thought it wise for Mossy and Sylvie to lay low at number 41 for a few days while everything calmed down. Too much fuss in Fairfield Road, said Mr. Bold. Mossy grudgingly agreed. Sylvie seemed pleased to have other animals to talk to, although as days went by, she began to miss living in the park. She was a shy fox, but she got on very well with Mrs. Bold, and they often had a nice chat together while Mossy was having an afternoon nap. Bit by bit, she began to tell Mrs. Bold about her life in the park and how she'd ended up with the bad-tempered Mossy. He wasn't always like he is now, she said apologetically. But he's angry, you see. You'll understand why when I explain. Mossy had, well, still has, a brother. But they were always very close, inseparable. Two handsome, intelligent foxes, strong and fit. Much admired and respected by all the other foxes. They would hunt together in the park, flirt with us vixens. Me in particular. In fact, Bert was my first true love. I always believed we'd end up together. But Bert was ambitious. He wanted more out of life. Like yourselves. Bert thought his best chance of doing that was as a human. He tried to persuade me and Mossy that we could live a different life. But we didn't feel like him. And I don't think we believed he would ever do it. Then one day he did. He left. Mossy and I were broken-hearted. Mossy took it badly. He was grief-stricken and very angry. So that's why he's so rude about our way of life, exclaimed Mrs. Bold. Exactly, Sylvie nodded sadly. Mossy and I became closer in our grief. And when I realised Bert wouldn't be coming back, I agreed to be Mossy's vixen. He's different from Bert. Maybe it's because he's so angry. I feel disloyal saying this, but he's cruel at times, unkind and cold, and particularly when it comes to humans and their way of life. Oh, I see. Mossy won't let me out of his sight. He's afraid that I'll follow Bert one day, but I'll never do that. No offence, but I don't want to become a human. If you don't mind me asking, why do you stay with Mossy? Said Mrs. Bold. Just seem rather unkind. I've asked myself that many a time, Mrs. Bold, and when I see how happy you are with Mr. Bold, I do wish things could be different, but deep down I know Mossy is just upset. He can change, and that if I leave him too, he'll feel even worse. Mrs. Bold gave the vixen a sad smile. So you never saw Bert again? Just once. He came back about a year later. He was dressed in overalls, said he had a job nearby. Life was good. He begged Mossy and I to join him, but Mossy wouldn't talk about it, accused Bert of betrayal. And is that when the stealing started? Asked Mrs. Bold. Correct, said Sylvie. It seems to give Mossy great pleasure to invade human homes and steal food and belongings, as if this is revenge on Bert in some way. Mrs. Bold gave Sylvie a comforting rub on her shoulder. Poor Mossy. Poor Sylvie. It can't be much fun living with someone who is so miserable all the time. Sylvie shook her head. Well, no, it isn't. But I remember the old Mossy, she said. He's missing his brother, that's all. Maybe one day he can be happy again. Maybe we both can. I really hope so. But it's not the same without Bert. He had a loud, joyful laugh. I can't bear to think I'll never hear that sound again. Sylvie stared into the distance, lost in her memories. Ah, yes, smiled Mrs. Bold. Laughter is so important in life. As a hyena, I'd have to say that it is the most important thing.